Hey, greeting fellow slinging agents in the wild. It's your trusted handler, Brian, coming at you once again from the Digital Rage Room. I know it's been a while since we aired season 14's finale, and I'm sorry for the long hiatus. I had mentioned that we would be having between season breaks, and this was conceived so that the material that we released would be flushed out, especially when creating a homebrew. You know, I try to research the locale where it will take place, as well as flesh out the NPCs so we could enrich it to the players and the listeners, give them a quality experience. And of course, the story. It has to be compelling from all points of view. All this rambling to say, we're back. And I've got a few shout-outs to be said as well. Over on our Instagram, we have Ryan Leonard of Killmore Monsters and Johanna Genu. Welcome to the show. Over on our YouTube channel, we have Darren W. Not to be confused with Darren Single U. Hi, welcome. Also over on our YouTube channel, we have Delay of Upload joining us. And with his joining, a few inquiries, no less. One of those queries was in regard to Ramirez's demise. My answer was, this happened between seasons, and yes, it will be explored deeper in the future. So agents, if you want a shout out, then head on over to our YouTube channel at RolledHard20 and subscribe. I'll be more than happy to give you a shout out on the intro. All right, enough with the jibber jabber. Let's warm up our dice and top off our glasses. RolledHard20 podcast presents our pre-season 15 Hard Slingers of Yore panel. That's quite a mouthful. Can I say that? Of course I can. It's a show.
So I'm like, oh, okay. Guess I got the coof.
Yeah, it's been making its rounds again at work. And you know what's really weird is that I've been feeling kind of like run down. But I'm just like, fuck it. Just keep drinking beer.
Yeah, that's how I was. Like, I didn't have a fever, didn't have anything like that. Just felt a little like had the chills for the first week. Now it's just fine. I just feel like I have a little bit of a sniffles, even though I'm like completely clear. I think I have a swelling in the, what do you call it?
Sinuses. Oh, sorry. Sinuses.
Yeah.
Have you lost your sense of smell?
No. I mean, I guess maybe the smell was a little bit mellow because when I was doing some cleaning with the cleaning, like lemon scented stuff, I really didn't smell it that much, but it's also diluted, but everything tastes good. And
yeah, you sound a little rasped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had it a couple of times. It's just one of those things which is a major inconvenience, and then you just get over it and you continue doing what you're doing.
I like wine more than I used to.
It comes at you from a direction you don't expect.
What you asked me to do is not justice, it's murder.
On the day of my daughter's wedding.
On the day of your daughter's wedding.
So how else has everybody been in the meantime, man?
Good.
Doing good, man. Just had a free week. Thought it'd be fun to jump on and talk some shop.
Yeah, this is a great call on Tone. I mean, he was the one that wanted to mention this last week. He's like, yeah, you know, we're going to have some guys out of town. Let's do something. Let's put something out there. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
So, oh, no problem. We all enjoy this. It's the only time I get to see you guys. So I figured, fuck it. We got Friday. Or we got the usual block of time. Antonio's off next week. Grace is doing her thing. She's going to Japan on Tuesday. And so I'm going to take it easy this week with respect to work because most of everyone's gone anyway. I'm working with government workers and they're just like, I'm taking off. You know, I got Wednesday, Thursday and Friday off. So fuck you. Nothing will get done on Monday or Tuesday.
Well, we're going to plug this episode in between seasons 14 and 15. This will be our pre-season 15 Hard Slingers of Yore panel. You know, catching up with the agents, catching up with the players. Talking about different things from the front to rear. I don't think I need to lead us in, do I?
No. It's always a good idea.
Yeah, want me to? All right, fuck yeah.
Greetings,
Yeah, so it's interrupting me too. Yeah. Greetings, fellow slingers. Welcome back to Roll the Hard 20 podcast. It's I, your trusted handler, Brian, and with me, my hard slingers of your
hail.
That's right. Our preseason 15 hard slingers panel of yore. So we already kind of caught up and did all this other stuff. The first thing I want to discuss is an agent's life expectancy in the field. Now, Odesso and Each have been with us since the beginning, and while we bypassed a few years in an effort to catch up to current dates, we've still seen them on quite a few ops. I think you guys have only missed two, and that was Deep Waters and Gaslight. But for the most part, you guys have done seven seasons, I guess, if you want to call them. And we're currently in the eighth, which is Collateral Damage, which we're recording, but hasn't even been close to being released at this time. By the statistics alone, one, if not both of these agents should have already been dead by now.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it almost happened.
A couple times, yeah.
No.
Right? A couple times.
Second one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Second one, you guys almost bought it, and then Tone took quite a beating in Convergence. Spoilers, nobody's heard that, pause this, go listen to all 57 episodes of Convergence.
We'll wait.
We'll be right here when you come back. But I guess we'll just go, given what you know about the system and the mechanics, why do you think that Each has lasted this long, Sammy?
Well, I think one is we play Delta Green very differently than we play Dungeons and Dragons. Delta Green has an inherent sort of lethality built in. I mean, you just look at something and you can go crazy and die, right? And that's like D&D. It's like dragon, no problem. Ancient dragon, saw that last week, and you know, no big deal. But here, oh, there's a weird signature on a painting. Oh, I'm dead. You know,
yeah. So you actually take damage even though you passed.
Yeah. We have to be very careful. So I think we play a lot more careful in this, and a lot more trepidatious. We don't want to just run around the corners and this and that. We try to hold off on any kind of engagement, you know, unless it's a nosy sheriff. We try to hold off on any engagement unless it confronts us. And we have barely equal odds, then we will do it. You know, the easiest fight we ever had was that poor train conductor who was part of the Whisper of Ages. If you haven't listened to the Lot 27, listen to it. But this guy confronted us and just got the friggin' paste beat out of him. But there's been many times where we are completely outnumbered and we don't want to engage. You know, I'm drawing a blank on which one that was, but it was the one at the end of the barn with the barn scene at the end. Was that Convergence?
Yeah,
that was Convergence. Okay. And we were completely outnumbered. There was absolutely no way. And it was like, if they wanted us dead, we'd be dead. So, you know, I'm a little bit more okay with facing humans than I am the paranormal, because there's could be one little paranormal thing. Hence a, you know, softball size protoglobule of doom, and it will take out an agent almost in one shot. So it's like, you know, okay, well, the humans, if they wanted us dead, we'd be dead, you know, so we're okay there. So, but the proto matter and that kind of stuff, we are just got to be very, tread very lightly and try to keep away from stuff. Overall, we just play a little bit, I think, a little bit more careful in this. Sorry, that was a really long answer for a simple question, but
no,
I think we play very careful, and that's why.
And I want to hear that too. You know, I know I diverged from a lot of that AP and Convergence, but it was set up at the end when those guys arrived in that black helicopter that they were itching to get it on, and it was like, I could, you know, it would have played out one way or another, maybe not character death, possibly player death. No, but the whole thing is
game.
we're playing for all the odds here. But I don't believe in a cheap death either. You know, I'm not a bloodthirsty GM who relishes in PC death and whatnot, but Yeah, I was kind of curious how you guys were going to handle the diplomacy aspect of that encounter. Tone.
Oh, the Pacifics, we had to have leverage. We didn't have any. Those dudes knew where our location was. They fast roped down on us. They had the drop. We had half of our members still inside the barn. Half of us were out. I mean, and we were surrounded at night without special equipment. I mean, there was no leverage for us. There was very little diplomacy. It was basically shut up, don't talk about it. And we're like, okay. And then, spoiler alert, what did we do? We called Heisenberg. Hey, Heisenberg, guess what happened? It's like instantly breaching the promise we made because fuck them, that's why. I mean, I'm interested to see how it plays out if you want to get into it. We in the schism inside of Delta Green. Like you said, the IP had the Cowboys and who? The Preservers or Historians?
They had the regular agents and then they had the Cowboys.
So, I mean, so I think those dynamics are interesting because you're talking about a highly secretive organization that doesn't even talk about itself to anybody else, right? We have Heisenberg, who knows who he's responds to. Obviously, there's another faction that comes in and says, keep this away from Heisenberg, yet they had the authority to deploy us. So who has control of the assets within Delta Green? Who controls the funding? Who controls the equipment? Who can manufacture all the infrastructure that we need in order to pass a facially, well, in order to pass and pass for an FBI agent or a Treasury agent or anybody else? I mean, that's heavy duty stuff. So I'm interested to see how that plays out because it's also an issue of loyalty. With respect to shelf life of an agency, right, or of an agent, you can find yourself on the wrong side of a faction war and wind up dead, not from something extraterrestrial or supernatural, but just simply, you spoke of the operation, so now you're dead.
Yeah. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why the code names started to come into play. Because the agents would be best served in the future story arcs that are created if people didn't know their true identities. Mm-hmm. So when you are called out and you are sent out to the field, when you're dealing with people like Lupus or you're dealing with people like O'Rourke or anybody else who may or may not be on your side or may actually be somebody that's against you, but you don't know it yet. Or they may be one of your greatest allies if you're out of touch with Heisenberg or you can't get a hold of him. I mean, you've already seen that you haven't been able to contact that SAC that was with the FBI in Knoxville, Tennessee. He went dark. Nobody knows what happened to that guy. And he was the guy that had sent you to Groversville. So, you know, trying to
Derringer,
remain.
We know what happened.
Was that what his yeah, Derringer.
Yeah, we know what happened.
Call him Dellinger, Derringer, Dingler.
Derringer, yeah. SAC Derringer.
Yeah, everybody's freaking name. But So I kind of want to start using the whole code names that start with the same letter that will then assign you to O-Cell. And then that starts bringing you into the main faction where there's only 26 cells. And the numbers of each individual cell can vary between 3 to 6. Who knows?
Yeah.
But as far as Odesso, what's his rationale for why what's your rationale, Tone, for how Odesso has survived as long as he had? Or did you just give me that? I don't want to.
No, it's just like Sammy said, man. This is a different game than D&D. In D&D, you can die and a cleric can bring you back, right? There's nothing like that. You take a lot of damage, you get a healing potion. You take too much damage, you can get a spell. Somebody can give you a spell. There's ways to come back, come up full hit points, many different ways to restore a character. There's nothing like that in Delta Green. You lose 6 hit points, you're looking at 6 days of recovery. A D4 modifier, if you're in a hospital, you can recover up to 4 points, right? That's what the book says, or the agent handbook says, assuming something bad doesn't happen to the hospital. Because that's interesting. They also account for medical malpractice in their world. So yeah, I mean, that's the best you're going to do. And that's 24 hours in a hospital. And hospitals ask questions, right? The doctors want to know, how did you get these scratches? How is it you got this particular burn? Why is it that you've done or look this way? What bit you? And those questions are complicated because, well, the questions are simple, but the answers are complicated. We can't start bringing people in as like, yeah, I got bitten by a possibly venomous flying dragonfly from the prehistoric era. You know, I mean, first off, then they look at you and go, maybe we should start fitting you for a jacket without any, you know, sleeves.
One size fits all.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I
mean, bullet holes cause all kinds of questions.
Right. We have to report those.
Venomous bites that have a mouth radius of like 18 inches and you weren't in some ocean someplace. Yeah, that probably raises.
Right. I just got attacked by someone from the Paleolithic era. What? No, you weren't. And then you come back with pieces and parts and maybe something like a scale or some fur or a tooth is entangled in your clothing or in the wound itself. And too many questions. And now there's a new mission. You now have to go clean the hospital because they have evidence of what what was coming through the nether.
Don't go to hospitals.
And you know, you can have one of your agents, if they're trained in medicine, to try to help you. But if they fail, then you take even more damage.
Right.
You know, it's like, so what do? You just try to sleep it off? Do you let your buddy try to heal you? Do you risk it going to the hospital? And, you know, when we look at the skilled medicine, or we look at some of these other skills that they have, that kind of leads me into where we're going next on our little panel here, is that, you know, for as long as we've been playing this system of Delta Green, there's been several instances where we've encountered scenarios where we struggle to find the right skill to use for a check or an action.
Yeah.
Sometimes alertness or search or even forensics, they're a stretch to make a convincing argument for the role. Even deferring to an intelligence check, it just seems like a blanket check that we want to use to cover everything, but it doesn't really focus in or narrow down what we want. And so what was it we came up with? A seventh statistic score, instinct. Now, we could go into a little bit of instinct and how it is going to start playing a role in our future scenarios. We're actually starting to implement it in collateral damage, and we used it during the epilogues of Lot 27. But, you know, don't get me wrong, the other six are good, but we just found that our agents needed more flexibility and the other statistic scores just couldn't reach it. So I'll break them down, or break it down with its skills, and you guys kind of feed into it and tell me what you think. So from the instinct stat, a few skills followed along suit. We have intuition, observation, and victimology. And how they work is everybody has instinct, not everyone has intuition, and that comes with experience. Like intuition, it'll tell you, you know, like if you need to get to high ground when water's rushing at you, but instinct will help you decide which high ground is best serving you through what you know. Or did I read that backwards?
I think that was backwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think the thing you're going for is instinct tells you to get to high ground when there's water, right?
Right.
Intuition knows that it's better to go to a building than a fucking lifeguard tower because it's not as...
Exactly. It'll tell you which high ground to go to.
Yeah.
And I think I basically broke down the intuition skill itself as being able to know through experience what is the most probable outcome of a decision made by someone, i.e. where someone might hide something or where someone might go to seek out a victim, if someone might best be put in one place over another. Yeah, that's your intuition.
It's almost like a wisdom, isn't it?
It's similar to it, but it's more.
That's what it would be if it was D&D.
It would be, but I don't want to call it a wisdom. It's similar because wisdom comes with, you would think, with age, but even a first level character may have that. Mm-hmm. Everyone has an intuition. You do, I do, Sammy does. It's obvious that the agents would have it too. Okay, you know, I don't know. I just feel like I should not go down that alley. But an instinct would tell you that if you go down that alley, there's too many nooks and crannies, you could get jumped, so I'll go around the building a different way. And that comes with even more, I guess, what's the word I want to look for? More intuition. It comes with more experience, basically, is what it's coming with.
See, that's the thing. We don't level up in this game. Our skill sets improve, but there's no leveling up. There's no there's just no leveling.
Yeah. No extra roll for hit points, no extra plus to hit because you went up because you went up a level.
Right.
Yeah, there's I mean, you do get advancements to your skills when you fail them.
Yeah, when you fail.
If you survive whatever you fail to deal with.
In order to improve, you have to fail and survive that. Where in D&D, I'm up a new level. There's no absolute negative. It's like, oh, another 10 of, hit points for a fighter. Oh, another plus one to hit, because you're now level two instead of level one,
See, that's the thing, right? D&D, the more experience your character gets, the better he gets, the more tolerant of failure he is. We have no tolerance for failure in Delta Green. It's your 10th mission. You still have 9 hit points. So if you fuck up, you're still going to die. There is no, oh shit, I should have learned this. Oh shit, this failure is not critical to this character because he doesn't have 9. He's got 18. There isn't anything like that. Not in this game. You make a mistake, the game's unforgiving.
I think the thing is the characters don't level up, but the players do. Like, I believe that aside from, a few situations, that I've become a way better agent from the first mission. One, because I learned to role play the character a little bit better. But two, I'm maybe a little paranoid. Maybe it's my instinct, now that we have that.
Yeah.
But, I'm flagging on things that I wouldn't normally flag, or things are a red flag or a green flag or any kind of flag. It's like I'm learning to, as an agent would in the field, be better at noticing or hearing things, and not just because I roll better incrementally, but more of it's like, oh, that dude's got tattoos coming out from under his sleeve. Oh, those guys also had tattoos. Maybe they're together. Oh, maybe he's just a junkie because he had long hair and the other guys had their head shit. It's like all that's going through the head. That's all from Lot 27 too, people. So if you're wondering what that was, just give it a listen. We'll wait. Yeah. Go ahead.
And that leads me into the next skill that we implemented, which is observation. Because alertness, it's a great skill. And I know it comes close to how I'm going to define observation. But there are times when that particular skill just didn't make sense to use because there may have been no danger involved. Nothing to raise one hackles. But implementing observation which is based off the instinct stat as well, is to pay attention to your surroundings or to other conversations close by, whether directly or overtly. Think of it as noticing if someone is putting something in their pocket that they didn't want you to see, but you did. Or someone whispers something to another person that only that other person could hear, but you hear it. And like Sam, like you said, somebody's dealing with you on the other side of a counter and he has long sleeves trying to cover something up, but yet you noticed something through your observation. And that really doesn't revolve around a search check because you're not looking to search for something. It's not really an alertness check because there's no danger, but we had to incorporate something that fell underneath this intuition check as well. And that serves a really good purpose also.
Indeed. And I like it too, because it's not these things are, you could argue, or someone who's more of a dedicated rule hound to Delta Green, that we could use some of the other ones, but part of the fun stuff is coming up with these that they don't break the game. Anyone who doesn't use these could easily use some of the other ones, but it just felt a little cool. And also, it's fun building something, like the sort of things that are happening with Ichi and Adesso outside the game is great, because it's building something, building character, and adding some of these new little checks that we can do, or doing the luck roll that's not part of it. That's all fun, because we're building up off of what Delta Green did and building it towards hard 20, so people who like roll the hard 20, they got that d20 in Delta Green, which is normally just 2d10, right? Occasional 12 sider for Tony when he's blasted people from mountaintops with a sniper rifle.
But, in broad daylight with a night vision scope on.
Hey, yeah.
Do I get a bonus? It's daytime and I've got the scope on,
He's got the blood moon. He's got the shining right on him. But yeah, it's fun kind of building these things up. But anyone who, say, would want to play one of your homebrew campaigns and they don't want to use these, they don't need to. They can just omit it and use something else. So it's not something that's breaking the game. It's not a thing that where, oh, now it's super overpowered or things like that, you know?
It just adds another layer of flavor that's fun to use. It helps break things down, like, hey, I want to hear what that guy has to say. Okay, well, make an alertness check. Okay, well, I could do that, but you know, what about, you know, can I notice anything about this guy's tattoo on the back of his neck or whatever? Well, I'm not gonna roll a search, not gonna roll it. Okay, make an intelligence. Nah, not really. Okay, well, boom, we have this. And all you guys, all you fellow slinging agents in the wild, feel free to use any of this stuff or discard it if you don't. I'm totally cool with it.
I would even say, for any of you fellow handlers out there, that if you ran into stuff like that and found some stats that will take the place of what we're doing, let Ryder know too, because maybe, you know, maybe we're missing something.
Hell,
you know,
yeah,
we're new playing this game too, even though we've been playing for years. You know, this isn't like a D&D game where it's you can just crunch everything and know the rules and all that. Like, it's again, we're taking our time and trying to be, you know, serious about it. So we're not able to just blast through fucking 300 goblins like you do in D&D. One little proto matter will throw an agent under the bus.
Yeah, I have no ego about it. Let me know. Let me know if you guys got something else. I'd love to hear it.
Well, for all of us, right? Instead of just telling a story, you have to roll dice so you can introduce the random factor. So if you're just rolling a die, you've got to be rolling against something. You want to know if you've got a critical success or a critical failure, or just simply knowing what it is I'm trying to beat. Hey, you need a 10 or better on a D20. Okay, cool. I know what I'm rooting for. And hey, tell me a slinger out there that doesn't feel it makes a difference when they know what they're rooting for before they roll their dice, right? I want high. Come on, baby, high. Or I want low. Come on, baby, low. It makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And I'd challenge anybody to say, nah, man, I just throw the dice into the box and see what comes up because it don't matter. Well, you shouldn't be playing that. Yeah. Or if you're playing, you got no passion for it, which makes me think, how much fun are you really having?
Yeah. And don't forget, you got to charge up your dice, too.
Yes.
Put it down that high number up.
Mm-hmm. That's a good observation, Tone.
Don't touch the fucking table. You're screwing up the mojo.
Don't ever touch my dice. Don't go outside. Shoot it. Bury it right next to the hand.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't we used to anoint our dice with a drop of whatever we were drinking or imbibing that day and saying, here you go.
Yeah.
Put a drop on the die, roll for luck. I mean, these things make a difference.
And I remember,
at least I think they do.
Old E4 Terramina the Hammer would anoint his dice that rolled bad.
They were failures. They were executed for not performing.
Well, we have another skill that's on our list that follows underneath the instinct stat, and that is victimology, which is a skill used in the scientific study of crime victims, including the study of the relationships or commonalities between victim or victims and the offender, and the consequences and effects of being victimized. And I kind of liked this because when we start getting into dealing with serial killers or something that's going through and murdering or eating particular individuals, and you're trying to make the determination of, well, what's the commonality here? You know, what are all the victims the same gender? Are they the same age? Are they the same race? Were they walking at the same time of night? Were they in the same neighborhood? You know, you could start building on this. It gives your agents a little bit more to ask the handler or to ask the authorities in charge of the crime and find out more information. It just lends a little bit more deeper meaning into your overall scenario.
We don't have to rely on the forensic guy to tell us, like, or maybe we're reading his report and we're seeing things that he missed because he's looking from a medical point of view and not a, oh, this is, you know, the Whisper of the Ages cult Cthulhu thing. They always do this, and people wouldn't notice that unless they were not familiar with that. So, you know, I think it's pretty, pretty cool role to have. I don't think Ichi, my character, really will have it because he's not officially any kind of law enforcement or anything like that, but you know, there might be a way for him to be able to denote certain ways things were cut or all that due to his lifelong pursuit of martial arts and swordsmanship and blades, and now his sort of primal urges that he has. So
I've kind of always felt like the medical examiner was your exposition dump. He was just always dumping the stuff that the agents wanted to hear or needed to hear to help move the story along. And I thought that this would benefit the agents to do a little of their own investigations.
Yeah.
Without relying so much on that. And there's going to come a time in Collateral Damage where this is going to play a huge role. So I look forward to that. Look forward to how you guys handle stuff like that. And hopefully it plays out the way I'm hoping it does.
Nope.
Nope, not at all. Nothing. Yeah, I have nothing for you. Our final skill that we've added thus far is Morale. And this is a charisma-based action made at the beginning of combat by one individual against another one. An individual can only have this perpetrated against them once. The individual instigating this action can only perform it once and at the cost of a turn. If the recipient fails, they lose their turn in that round. If they succeed, they remain in the initiative. And if they crit succeed, then they can either move to the top of the initiative or take a 20% bonus to either their next skill or action, if that action also includes an attack. So just one of those kind of things that if we want to start messing around with this, if it starts getting hot and heavy, you guys want to try to lay something heavy on a thug to kind of put a little fear in them. Basically, they freeze up. They don't get to do anything for that whole turn. Kind of gives you guys a free shot.
This was the one I was a little unsure of because I didn't know exactly where it was coming from. But I guess it maybe would be so we don't have to put down every cultist or whatever. If we grease one extremely violently or something, and then the next one, we like fucking step down. And is that where we're trying to use this?
I think we're going to implement it at the beginning of any encounter. Now, this is something that we're just kind of fooling around with. We haven't even put it into play yet to see how it would play out. It's probably something we want to play test first before we get to that point. Yeah. And just see if it's something that pans out. It may or may not even work. But
I think having something where there has to be a precursor. Like I can't just, maybe I could. Like if it, for example, remember when we were at the end of that scene in the barn and we had this huge show of force against us, 13 dudes with guns. If the one main guy was going to do a morale thing on us and see if he could just completely demoralize us.
Only on one person though. No, it can only occur one time by one person.
Right.
Like but from, I mean, from like either maybe, side.
But I could see that like having a reason to do it. But if there was just two people and then the one guy tried to like intimidate me, then it's like, I don't like that. I think I don't like it because Ichi has a 10 charisma. So I might be very susceptible to it.
Oh, okay. Someone's, yeah. But like it doesn't even have to be somebody saying something. Like say you grabbed your hilt and you pulled the blade out say 2 inches and that action was your morale attack against that guy, just that action, and the guy's like, whoa, fuck, I might actually get split asunder with this. It's more flavor than anything else, but it's an actual role to move this guy around or make him not act in that round at all. So
yeah, no, I get it. If it's someone like say I'm trying to intimidate the hotel clerk, but I can't see Ichi pulling that kind of move on, say, like a Coldwell or a Rice or a seasoned person and having it work. I mean, maybe it would, but I just was, that's why I was saying, I was wondering when we would be using this and then potentially I could see the uses for it if we've already asserted dominance on something or did something. Like, remember, not to go to D&D, that owlbear where my dragonborn intimidated on an owlbear. We found out you couldn't do that, but during
it sure
the time
was fun though.
He was, you know, it was broken, it was tortured, and it was in a cell, and my guy, you know, being, you know, 6 foot, 7 foot, breathing fire on the shit, full-on just, you know, made it piss 8 foot pants bunch. With that roll, it put it in check. So I could understand when, you know, in our, say, one of our agents do that, we beat the shit down on some people, and then Odesso and myself, both to the people we're about to fight, you know, put your weapons down now. And then it's like, oh shit, okay. I could totally see stuff like that happening.
But all it would do for the opponent that failed is prevent them from acting in that round. Okay. Doesn't make them drop their guns. It doesn't make them flee.
Give up or nothing.
Yeah, it just, they lose that turn in the round.
Gives them like a pause.
Yeah. So if they were going to fight, they'll still fight anyways, but they have to wait around. So like if everybody gangs up on this one guy, they can, but most of the time that's not really the way it happens. It might give you guys an opportunity to run away.
Right.
Or, you know, to try to grapple the guy or something. That's all it really does. It doesn't make the guy piss his pants unless you want to use it as flavor.
Ew.
The guy doesn't drop his weapon unless maybe you guys crit succeed against his crit fail or something.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, maybe
all right, I got it.
Yeah, something
it's
like that.
It's not like D&D morale where I did it and now they're like, I gave up.
Yeah, it's
just
not like
causes
that.
Causes you to stop or pause.
It's almost like giving you guys a free throw, a free hit, but you still have to hit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if each were to do it against somebody and he wins and the guy, he doesn't do anything. Well, each can't act in that round because he just did that. And right. It can only be done once.
Okay.
So his turn is up and then Odessa would go, Rice, Coldwell. But there's other people that may be between those guys in their initiative order because mm-hmm. they may have a higher dexterity. Like say the next guy is not you each. Say it's one of the bad guys and he can actually insert himself between you guys. So you can't get to his buddy. Yeah, there's other things that could go with it. It's just...
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it out.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. So.
Yeah, I know that each is always trying to avoid conflict. So this might be a really good skill or good thing to do at the beginning of things, you know, before things have escalated, you know, like, hey, just saying here, boom. It's like, oh, okay. And then it's like, well, it could escalate after that, but at least the opening salvo was something to show that we're not trying to destroy or do this, that, or the other. So it may play off good.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes and we'll see how these other skills go as well. I mean, hopefully they work out the way we hope they plan on working out. And if they do, we'll just keep implementing them or modifying them as they need to be. Or if they just suck, we'll just drop them out the door completely.
Would this work on animals? And the reason why I say that is like, I don't think we have yet, but we've never encountered a guard dog. And I was just thinking like, well, how the fuck do you stop a dog from barking? Or, you know, you can't blast it. You can't fuck, I guess.
Yeah, I want to say it would have to be something that's intelligent, but maybe not. I mean, maybe if you did the role, you could say, well, I stood up and kind of like made myself look bigger and mm-hmm. it caused the dog to, whoa, wait a second. Maybe this is a bear. Maybe this isn't what I think mm-hmm. it is. And that's enough for it to lose its place and turn once until maybe it sniffs the air when it comes back around and says, well, this is a plain old cracker.
Half cracker.
I was going to say something about that, and you ended up doing it anyways. But, yeah, I think we've gone through all the things that we've intended to go through this evening. Is there anything else you guys want to throw out there for the folks?
Be creative. Always be creative, to echo somebody and a couple somebodies. I mean, I love our trusted handler, Brian's homebrews, and I love the idea that we aren't stuck with the IPs that Delta Green puts out, because it's been absolutely fun. And I would encourage anybody out there who's a little bit on the fence about it, try it, man. Play test it with your players. If things, elements don't work, change them up, fix it so that they do. Be responsive to feedback, and you know, don't give up being creative to stick with somebody's out of the box IP. Experiment, homebrew.
And you guys had a good time playing Lot 27.
Yes.
And what's really weird is I dropped the episode last week and I didn't hear anything on any of the comments. It was one of the quietest weeks I'd ever heard. I was like, oh my. Now, anybody that listens to this episode right now, Lot 27 is already finished. So I hope you guys have all enjoyed it. But during this week of it, I was really concerned. I was like, did I lose people? Do they not enjoy it? And I thought about it and I'm like, you know, I hope they enjoyed it. If they didn't, I'm still going to keep doing this because I like the scenarios we're putting out. I like writing my own also. I think there are times that I see some of the published ones that I want to add more to it, or I want to take away some things. And I do that when we do our published ones, but I don't want to always do that because I don't want to discredit the author of them, you know? Mm-hmm. So With mine, yeah, I could.
I think one. Sorry, Ryder, go ahead.
I was going to say, with mine, I could fuck them up all as much as I want while we're playing and say, oh, this isn't working, you know. But.
What are you going to say, Sammy?
I was going to say, I think whether it's homebrew or existing one, I think part of the key to making these things really enjoyable on my end is being able to play more than one episode at a time. Doesn't have to be the whole thing, but I think having two or three, four episodes together, and that's even more important if there's more people playing. Because if there's more people playing, it's breaking the, you know, the flow of the thing, because we're, you know, we're letting everybody get their, you know, talking and have everyone asking questions. So if there's multiple people having more play time together, so you can actually dig through a little bit farther, is important. If there's less people, maybe it's not as important, but it's still, I thought having all those back-to-backs like in Lot 27 was really good. And I noticed that in the latest one, we did the one episode and it was like, now we're kind of on hold, you know, because we got holidays coming up and things like that. It's like, shit, you know, I'm not going to remember. I would love to see us get back into it.
Yeah, I want to see us when we get back into it after all the holidays kind of die down, is do two episodes right out of the gate so we can get that feel. Because mm-hmm. the way it was written is that as you guys have split up, I don't want to say anymore because this goes before that. Just know that it's designed for, I can't even say that. Enjoy the collateral damage. I can't even say anything else. All right. But yeah, I do want to get us back into it and get us, and I hope all you handlers out there enjoy that as well too. I know for me, it keeps me on my toes when we would sit down and we would record for 4 or 5 hours straight. Just ba 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 ba. I know we did that for a couple of our seasons. We did that with Last Things Last, Sins of the Father. We did it with Victim of the Art. We did it with Sweetness. We did it with Lot 27. And every time it was, you just get so immersed in the narrative that you're just running on adrenaline. And it's cool to see where it goes. So.
Yeah, and you don't forget what's been happening from week to week.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, because usually we'll have one or two episodes in reserve, so even the guys don't get to hear it where they were last week, because it's still a week or two out before it airs. So
And it's, again, Delta Green being different than, say, D&D, it's like, oh, where were we last week? We just wiped out a room full of goblins, now the ogre, blah. Okay, but here it's like, it's all role play, it's all investigating. It's like, wait a minute, what was the last thing we did? And you got copious notes and things like this. So having it, just being able to play it back to back, you don't have to, it's not as hard to remember what you've been doing.
And Tone takes the best notes too. So does Chris. Chris is really good with his notes also. Yeah. And I mean, Tone will tell me stuff that he did back in season one. I'm like, what the fuck?
I have almost an entire legal pad filled with notes going all the way back to the first time we played.
That is
kept
amazing.
It on the same pad. It's fun.
Well, this goes back to all the old, you know, when we were 16, 17 years old playing Dungeons and Dragons, and he has the same legal pad, but it's written down with, oh, there's a tapestry that's worth 200 gold pieces, and oh, there's this, that. He's got like this catalog of the loot. It's
when we're done playing this, we're going to get some Chinese food.
Yeah. Damn right. And a pizza.
Yeah.
But I think that about wraps up what we were hoping to accomplish this evening, and I think we did a really good job with it. I don't want to go too long because I don't want to bore our slinging agents in the wild, but I hope they enjoy this as well. Anything else to say before we call it an evening?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes,
oh,
happy Thanksgiving.
And, happy early birthday coming up to you, counselor.
Well, thank you.
That's right.
But you know, this age, you start forgetting who gives a fuck.
And also happy birthday to the handler too, coming up. Yep. And that's why I'm not clicking out of the channel right now to get the win on hanging up. So I'm going to give this to him. Yeah.
Watch Tone take it.
I'm out of here.
All right, brothers. Until we
cheers, everybody.
Hit this up again next time. We'll be right back.
It's like convergence, man. That IP was going in four different directions. It was confusing as hell.
Yeah. Did you see a writer's text, Tony?
I no.
I'll cut this part out.
We'll cut that part out. Thank you for the editing. Make sure you don't bash the
wrong. There's your beeper. Blooper. Your beeper.
Thank you for joining us once again on Roll the Hard 20 Podcast. Remember, you can find us and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, and Audible. And if you like what you're listening to, be sure to leave us that 5-star rating and review. Don't forget about our YouTube channel at Roll the Hard 20. So if you're into watching and you want to help support this show, then head on over and hit that subscribe button. It really does help the show out. We can also be found in the wild on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So don't forget to look for us there and check us out. You can also contact the show directly at rollthehard20podcast@gmail.com or head on over to the website at rollthehard20podcast.com where you can download the current show directly, pick and choose past shows from our archives, or view our galleries. We've got a lot of stuff posted over there, so check us out. And finally, join us on our Patreon at patreon.com/rollthehard20podcast where you can become a hard slinger and pick up swag. So until next time, keep your dice warm and your glass topped off as you roll those hard 20s.